You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
And Matt had a chance to talk to Juju Smith-Schuster today.
Nice.
It was really the first time he's spoken this off season, and said his decision. I'm going to paraphrase here before we get to the interview. He made the decision to re-sign with the Steelers largely because he feels like this gave him the best opportunity to be himself this year.
Okay.
He could have signed with the Chiefs.
Kansas City and Baltimore were interested, right?
He said, you know, he couldn't see going to play for Baltimore. That would have cost him, I think in his words, he said that would have cost me too many fans.
And he's certainly interested in his
His
fans. Yeah. He's a different generation than I am. I don't quite get that, but fair enough.
And didn't go to Kansas City because I think he felt like his best opportunity to have a good season was here. Now, your best opportunity to have maybe a Super Bowl season would have been
Kansas. I mean, those are two really good teams, obviously. Yeah. I mean, they both are contenders. It's not like, well, it's torn between
But
Houston
if you're looking
and
at it, and we saw, I think from a standpoint of how the Ravens weren't able to get any of the top name.
No,
free,
I don't think that's
free agent receivers. Like,
for,
you're not going to go there and catch 40 passes this year and become a free agent again next year and go, hey, here I am.
Right, exactly.
That does you no good.
And as anyone would. He should look at this season because it's such a strange year. I don't think any of those were long-term contract offers from Kansas City or Baltimore. That I'm going to play 1 year for this team, try to boost my stock as much as I possibly can for my biggest and probably last, maybe not last, he's so young, payday of my career a year from now. And I might as well stick with the devil that I know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to going
somewhere
90, new. And,
you know, 90-plus passes last year, even though it was mostly – you know, shorter ones, you still caught 90 passes.
Yeah, 90 balls, right.
Yeah.
I mean, even
are you
going
to catch 90 passes in Kansas City? No.
No. I mean, they won't throw the ball more than the Steelers did last year. They'll throw the ball a lot more than Baltimore, and they'll throw the ball a lot.
But they're, you're the third or fourth mouth to feed.
That's what I was going to say is, I think when it's all said and done, which really isn't a knock on Juju, I think he'll be the third mouth here. I know he's the third mouth in Kansas City.
And the other two mouths demand...
They're big mouths.
140 targets each.
Right.
Like, is anybody in Pittsburgh demanding 140 targets, or let alone two guys demanding 140
targets?
Exactly.
I mean, you're clear third.
Yeah.
So
look at Sammy Watkins.
It makes sense, right? He kind of vanished there.
Four years ago, Sammy Watkins, the highest paid receiver in the NFL because the Chiefs gave him a ton of money.
Yep.
And then never used him.
And didn't really, and I'm sure he had something to do with that, but the other two guys are just way better.
Yeah, they just emerged. You know, when they signed Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill was
he was a puppy.
A blip on the radar.
I would say he was a second-year guy or something
Travis
like
Kelce
that.
Was good, but he wasn't the Travis Kelce we know today.
Sure. No, so it does make sense. And your familiarity with the quarterback and the system. And, you know, I do think the brand name is important to Juju, which I don't fault him for. I mean, he's a young kid. I use that quote, you know, by my standards. But I do think that's, you know, something that he – wants to build the brand for post-football and whatnot, too.
And he makes money off the field with it as well.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so
if that's what floats his boat, that's cool, and it's important to him. So, you know, do it right.
Yeah, but let's hear what Juju Smith-Schuster had to say with the assembled media today.
All right, everybody. Juju is on. Again, I'll just use the raise your hand function. I'll call on you, and we'll get started with Brooke Pryor of ESPN.
Hey, Juju. I'm wondering, how close were you to signing with the Chiefs this offseason, and how do you weigh playing with Ben for one more season versus going over to the Chiefs where you could be with Patrick Mahomes for potentially a really long time?
For me, I think it was more so the loyalty, staying with my quarterback. You know, I've been playing with him for the past 4 years, and you know, the fact that he's coming back for one more year and the fact that, you know, I can, you know, have that potential for a 1 year deal. Just organization set everything up for me, you know. You know, they pretty much know my body inside and out, on the field and off the field, how I am. And being able to have to move everything and like learn a whole new playbook. And don't get me wrong, Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, and he will be for the next decade. But like I said, I think it's just a loyalty to, you know, my coaches, to my receiver coach, and, you know, to my quarterback.
Christopher Carter.
Juju, you guys, you know, I saw videos of you talking to Chase and you know, James and all, and Deontay and the other receivers over the offseason. How much have you guys talked about coming back together and being able to do have a complete year compared to last year, and, you know, your excitement of having Najee Harris and being able to show everyone, like, hey, you can be even better than you were last year?
Yeah, like, no doubt. I mean, we always say, you know, we got the band back together. As you see, you know, we got, you know, James, Deontay, Chase, me, Ray Ray, everyone who's all, you know, put their hand in the pile. And then to add on top of that, you know, you have Ben coming back, and then you have Najee, great running back. And, you know, even adding another tight end, you know, with Eric Ebron and all those guys, you know, him leading that group. So we have some weapons, you know. At the end of the day, you know, we're still going to have to go out there and like ball out and become better than we were last year. And, you know, like I said, the chemistry is already there. We're just making it even better and having a stronger chemistry this year.
Mark Caboli.
Hey, Juju, with the salary cap expected to jump significantly next year, you on a one-year deal, Ben might be done next year. Do you view this as a one-year thing for you, and next year you'll be able to, you know, go out onto the market and get your value?
Most definitely. I mean, my value is my value. You know, I thought, you know, but everything what happened this year was kind of like different with the cap being low and everything. So next year is obviously a year, you know, where the cap will be so much better, so much bigger. And, you know, knowing that, you know, I'll be on the market again, and knowing that every team that would, you know, would want to, you know, offer something on the table to what my value is. But at the end of the day, you know, this year, just got to go out there, ball out, do what I got to do, and then put stuff on tape, you know, to make my value even better.
Joe Rutter.
Yeah, having said that, were you surprised at the wide receiver market? You know, other than a few guys early, really didn't, you know, get big deals this year?
I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, you got everyone, you know, it was very low this year. You know, I prefer everyone taking a 1 year deal. I think it's just better. And then going back out into the market again and then, you know, hitting it, you know, for more or for a bigger prize.
Rich Walsh.
Juju, I wanted to follow up on Brooke's question a little bit. Why is it important for you to be loyal? I mean, some guys would take the guaranteed money in the years instead of a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, a couple million's not – I guess for some people it's different, but, you know, I'm looking at the bigger picture of, like, next going into next year. I already knew if I would have went to the Ravens, fans would have destroyed me, you know, from inside and out. You know, I would have had loyal fans, but still, you know, that rivalry there is big, you know. And then going to the Chiefs, you know, obviously, like, they have a great, great offense and all that, you know, being able to play with, you know, Tyreek and Travis and all that. But at the end of the day, I got to do what's best for me. And, you know, that's, you know, staying home, knowing my quarterback, knowing my OC, knowing my receiver coach. It just makes everything easier on me this year going into the next year, that, you know, next year's free agency will be a lot better.
Jenna Harner.
Juju, just for you in particular, you mentioned wanting to ball out this season, wanting to do a lot of things. What is the biggest goal that you're focused on this year for yourself in particular?
Playing more outside. Simple as that.
Jeff Hathorne.
Juju, obviously there was an install last year of a lot of Matt Canada's concepts. How different is this offense, and how do you think it fits what you want to do, especially being more outside?
I mean, honestly, I haven't even had a conversation with Matt about, you know, me playing outside, but in practice or through OTAs, there's been plays where he's put me outside, where he's put me in a bad situation of, you know, getting the ball outside and stuff like that. And that's not just me. That's all of us. That's Chase, that's Deontay, that's just James, that's Ray Ray. Everyone's getting a little bit of touch and like moving around and knowing this offense. I think this offense is going to help us out a lot. Being able to open up holes for Nigel's, being able to open up, you know, plays and balls down the field and fast plays. So I really believe in his offense.
Aditi Kinkabala.
Hi, Juju. Where did he go?
What happened?
Oh, there you are. Okay. Thanks, Juju. Two things. One, there's been a lot of outside talk that Ben Roethlisberger, who's had one offense for his entire career, may be a little resistant to changing things. Tell us what you've seen that lays lie to that, that says that that's not true, and he's buying into what Matt Canada wants to do. And then the second part is to follow up on Jenna's point, why do you want to play outside? Why is that so important? You're basically one of the best slot receivers in the game.
I think I'm going to answer number two first. Number two is because playing inside, the best, but, you know, being able to play outside too, you know, adding more to your craft. As you looked at year two of, you know, probably the best year I've had at being a Pittsburgh Steeler, I was playing more outside than inside, you know, and that's, you know, having a threat player on the other side, you know, with Ben. At the end of the day, I think we have threat players all the way around on our offense. He has too many weapons that you don't know where Ben's going to go, and that's just how it is. What was question number one again, to follow up on that one?
About Ben. Give us some examples of how you know that he's buying into. I mean, it's hard to ask a guy who's been playing for, 18 years in the same offense to buy into pre-snap motion and jet sweeps and things like that. How do you know he's doing it?
He's always asking questions 24/7. He's always asking questions, not for myself, but also for himself too. You know, a guy who's been in the league for 18 years, who's obviously been asking questions for me. Like, I've been in the office for 4 years. So it's like, damn, this is tough for me. But for him, for 17 years, and then for him, it's like, oh, I got to learn a whole new offense, you know, like last year. It's way tougher than what it is. So for myself, it's just like, I know I have a lot of questions, but he also is asking questions too, even as an adult.
Thank you.
Brian Bacco.
Juju, before my football question, is the pink hair here to stay, or is that a temporary look for you?
I don't know, man. I kind of like it. I mean, I'm done dyeing my hair. If I dye one more time, it's probably going to fall out. So it's going to now, and then hopefully we'll see where it takes us.
Okay. Well, you know, we were talking to Chase last week, and, you know, he mentioned that he'll do whatever it takes as long as everybody else is eating in this room. But, you know, you mentioned that you're in a contract year. James is in the last year of his deal. Even Ebron is in the last year of his deal. How do you keep everybody happy, basically? Because you guys want to win, but people are going to want their touches, right?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I think people want their touches. People want to reach their goals or personal goals on the field. But at the end of the day, man, you win out, you win these games, everyone gets paid. You know, you saw it with the Chiefs. The Chiefs won, everyone got paid. Between the head coach to the OC to Patrick to Travis to the O linemen that they're getting, like, everyone's getting paid. So, you know, you go out, you win these games, you win the playoffs, win the Super Bowl, I guarantee that everyone will have a chance to eat.
I got time for a few more. Let's go to Chris Adamski.
Hey, Juju, not to give you two justifications to not answer my question directly, but I know it's June and I know you're not the coordinator, but if you're not playing the slot, who is the best fit then for the slot amongst your receivers? And is it a matter of, you know, Ben talked a lot about, you know, and you can do this from the outside too, but being the slot, being that third down guy, being the guy that makes the catch to move the chains all the time. Is that role, is it more like the desire to be a more of a big play threat than being that role in terms of, you know, being that kind of security blanket for Ben?
I'm for sure be security blanket wherever I'm at on the field, you know, at the end of the day. But I do, you know, playing inside, I pretty much got it packed down. But I think the second person to play behind me is Ray McCloud. You know, he's a guy that you guys really haven't seen him really, you know, as a slot receiver be explosive. And in practice, he makes plays. As far as, like, obviously he's really good on special teams, but you'll probably see more of him playing slot this year, obviously, and more inside. And he's a guy who will fit the position, you know, second best. And everyone else is just kind of just learning as they go. But as far as like third down plays and all that, like, I mean, I still don't mind playing inside and outside. You know, we have in our formation, how we have it set up is that, you know, we move around, whether I'm F, X, like we're always moving around different positions. So you can't really tell if I'm the number three receiver as a slot, but then again, I'm playing outside. So it all varies.
Noah Strackbean.
Hey, Juju, going back to free agency. I know, you know, it comes down to a lot of factors, but where on the priority list will your fan base be, or the Steelers fan base be? And you said you didn't want to go to Baltimore because of the fans. Does that eliminate the AFC North, you know, moving forward if your time in Pittsburgh ever ends?
Not necessarily. There's a lot of times, you know, you've seen other guys go to, you know, other teams in the North. Like people say, the price is right. you just never know. But, you know, I also do take in consideration that I do consider the fans, you know, and that fan base. You know, they made me who I am today. They made, you know, my fan base and what I've created in Pittsburgh is going to carry a very, very long way, you know. And I think they'll still support me, you know, wherever I go, but the North. So that's how I see it.
All right, got time for two follow-ups. Brooke Pryor.
Juju, I wanted to go back to Brian's question about the hair, and very serious, but you did start this earlier this offseason. How did you decide, hey, I want to go blue and then purple and then pink? What kind of started all of this?
Mainly because of anime. I don't know if you guys know, I'm big into anime, and pretty much watching anime is like I decided to just dye my hair. My Hero Academia is a guy named Deku. He pretty much, you know, he has green hair and then started with green, then green went to blue and then purple and now pink. So this is where I'm at with it.
All right. Last one, Mark Caboli.
Juju, just to be clear, do you anticipate you being here next year? Because how you're talking, it sounds like this is a one and done type of situation. Do you see any scenario that you would return next year?
I mean, I think to come back for another four more years, to have 9 years as a Steeler would be tremendous and remarkable. And it'd be unheard of from a receiver standpoint. No doubt, like, don't get it wrong. Pittsburgh is definitely still an option on the table. And I know that they'll fight hard. And I know they're one of the teams that have the most cap. But then again, like, it's a lot of people don't want your deal, you know? So, you know, you got to take in consideration that, you know, you got to play your butt off because you never know what's going to happen. And that's how I see it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Just an FYI.
That is how he sees it. Matt, there's a lot to digest there.
Yeah, a ton.
I'm looking here at the Steelers' targets from last year. Deontay Johnson had 144 in 15 games, so almost 10 a game.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big number.
Big number. Juju had 128 in 16 games. Claypool had 109 in 16 games. Eric Ebron had 91.
Which might surprise people, he had 91.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you go down to James Washington with 56, James Conner with 43. Catches, if you look at it, it was Juju leading the team with 97, Deontay Johnson with 88. Claypool was 62, Ebron with 56. I believe they were one of only two teams in the league last year who had four receivers with 50 or more catches.
I would think. That's pretty rare. I was about to mention that, too.
Now, I say that, they threw the ball 652 times last year.
And that's going to come down.
That's going to come down.
And the running backs, I think, will catch more passes than they have in the past, too.
Yeah, if you look at James Conner had 43 targets last year, caught 35 passes.
I'll take the over on that.
Benny Snell had 14 targets, 10 catches. Jalen Samuels was 14 and 9. Anthony McFarland was 9 and 6.
Okay. I bet McFarland catches 20-ish and Harris catches 50-ish.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. So
right. It'll be more concentrated.
The pie is going to be – it's going to be a smaller pie this year.
Yes.
And it's going to be cut up a little differently.
I also don't think, contrary to popular belief, they're going to run the ball 60% of the time.
They're not going to be
a run-heavy team.
The idea is to run the ball more effectively,
yeah.
Not more volume,
yeah,
necessarily.
A couple things I just wanted to peel away from that while they're fresh on my mind is I hadn't thought of this before we mentioned the interview, but I think it was the last thing he said. the Steelers next year are going to have way more cap than Baltimore or Kansas City.
Right.
You know, those guys are going to have to pay their quarterbacks. So, hey, I'm fresh on your mind. We can negotiate, you know, extend me here. That certainly is in his thinking. Whether it happens or not, who the heck knows? He mentioned that he feels that he is Ben's safety blanket. And I think that's true. I mean, I do think the trust is there.
Yeah.
There's more targets.
More so than the other guys.
Right.
He's been older, with them longer.
He's been, yeah. They've had a lot of success. He's thrown a lot of passes his way. He's a really good contested catch guy, too. So I do think that's some of the value without question.
Yeah, when you look at his numbers, I mean, he had 97 catches, which
that's a big number. I mean, I know that the average yard per catch is very low. But
he scored 9 touchdowns,
yeah,
which is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, the 831 yards, that's why you heard him say he wants to play outside more.
Right.
Because, you know, that's when he had his best season was when he was playing outside. But he was also opposite Antonio Brown in that situation.
Exactly.
And if he plays outside, that means somebody else has to play inside, mm-hmm, unless they're going to play a lot more two-receiver sets.
Right. And a lot to unpeel with that, too, because he has played outside. I think he's always done his best work inside. There's times where they've looked for that Sammy Coates type, the Martavis
stretch
type.
Stretch the field, yeah.
Yeah, they were true outside guys, big, fast dudes. That means Juju's in the slot when they're out there. But they also had the stint with who was the little slot guy that they traded for from the Raiders, and he played more snaps than he should have and lined up in the back.
Switzer.
Field. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a pure slot. So Juju was able to go outside in 3 receiver sets, and as you mentioned, in 2 receiver sets with AB, he's an outside guy. There's probably a lot of people going, what's the difference? Why are we talking about this so much? I mean, the big key for Juju is when he gets a big, long NFL corner pressing him outside the numbers, he doesn't get off press coverage very well. Yeah. I mean, and in the slot. And
part of that's because he doesn't run as well. Like,
and a lot of it's technique. You can beat the
guy. You can beat the guy off the line, but if he can recover and catch up to you, you're not open.
No, that's part of that's true. But even like, he's never going to be as talented as A.J. Brown. But A.J. Brown doesn't separate a lot either.
Yeah.
You know, like, he gets off press coverage by being a bully. Keeps the guy on his hip. They give him the ball, and then that poor corner has to get him on the ground. Which, best of luck with that. So I think Juju can do some of those things outside. I think technique wise, he just needs to work on press, getting off press coverage more and more, which is fixable. But you know, it has not been a strength of his game on the inside. You don't see corners
don't
come
see
up
press.
And press you and bang you around. You know, that's the beauty of that. And I'm sure it was obviously a theme of this conversation is his stock on the open market and free agency and coming back. I'm sure teams told him this past offseason, we would like to see more snaps outside before we give you the money you're asking
Absolutely,
for.
Absolutely, because you're more valuable. You're not Golden Tate. You're just
exactly.
a slot guy.
Exactly.
To your point about the press coverage and who should be inside, who should be outside, you sent me this the last 2 weeks or you sent me one of mm-hmm. these each. Deontay Johnson last year against man coverage, his success rate was in the 95th percentile.
Yeah, really, really good.
Against zone coverage, his success rate was in the 96th percentile.
Yep.
This is all receivers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Against press coverage, it was in the 86th percentile. When he's double teamed, he had a success rate of 87%.
Really high, yeah.
These are all really, really high.
Yep.
With Chase Claypool, you're looking at the same numbers, okay. His man against man coverage, 74th percentile.
Mm-hmm.
Against zone coverage, 64th percentile. You'd like to see it a little higher.
Sure.
Against press coverage, 80th percentile.
Yeah, he beats people up at the line.
He beats people up at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't seen one of these yet for Juju.
No, he has not done. This is for Matt Harmon. He does reception perception. He's done this for the last couple of years. He does exceptional work. He works for Yahoo, and he has his own website now called Reception Perception, where he watches every snap and he has these indicators that historically have shown him who the best receivers are going to be. Does it for incoming rookies? A thing that I've noticed just reading all the ones he has is rookies, and I learned, it's one of my first lessons I learned when I was scouting for the Browns. Go watch every snap of press coverage you can for corners and receivers at the college level, because rookies usually struggle there. Like, yeah. Those are very good numbers for a rookie from Claypool.
Absolutely.
Like, they probably will go up this year.
There weren't many people pressing him at Notre Dame.
No, right.
Because he was going to
beat the dirt and throw him on the ground and stomp on him and run for – yeah, right. I mean, that's a bad strategy. So all guys have to learn that at this level, and it's, you know, much more prevalent at this level. So his numbers as a rookie are really good.
Now, that being said – I wouldn't mind seeing more of Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool in the slot.
I agree.
Because you're getting them a different kind of matchup.
The other thing, you know, like Welker's great and Edelman are really good slot receivers. But if that guy lines up in the slot, well, now I know where the other guys are going to be too. Yeah. You know, it's a ripple effect. We talk about this like with the Revis effect. If one corner is going to follow a receiver on the field, well, the other 10 have to adjust. Well, if Juju can only play this spot, and I always use the Dez Bryant example, he always lined up to the quarterback's right, and so the other four skill guys only have so many spots they can go.
Even if you shift them all over the place, they're not going there.
There's just less options,
yeah.
And the defense makes it easier to prepare. I know Dez is going to be here all week of practice, and I mean, I know that these guys aren't going to be anywhere else, so I can adjust my defense accordingly or roll coverage to Dez easier, things like that. You can't manipulate the defense as well.
Yeah, I'm not sold that Ray McLeod is going to be their slot. They're going to take these other guys off the field. Any of these other guys off the field to put Ray McLeod in the slot so Juju Smith-Schuster can play outside.
Right, I mean, because then you get worse at two spots.
Yeah, that's not making you a better football team.
I mean, I'm not sure Juju's going to love it, but he's going to be in the slot a lot.
I think what's going to happen, and you'll see this a lot, is there going to be a lot of pre-snap motion where maybe Juju starts in the slot and then winds up being maybe the single receiver on that side of the field or something like that.
The most outside of the group or whatever, by the time the snap is made. Or the opposite, lines up outside, and by the time he releases off the line, he's in the slot position. And like even Claypool doesn't look like a slot receiver. But
neither does Julio Jones, and he played a lot of snaps in the slot.
Neither does Eric Ebron or Evan Ingram or Jared Cook. He's not much different than them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One last final note on that. I'm looking here at the league leaders last year in targets per game.
Okay.
Devontae Adams was number one, Keenan Allen number two, Stephon Diggs number three, DeAndre Hopkins four, Travis Kelce five, Deontay Johnson six.
Yeah.
He averaged 9.6 per game. That was just a tick behind Travis Kelce.
Despite some injuries and not finishing every game and, right.
Yeah. Then you have Calvin Ridley, Allen Robinson, Darren Waller, Tyreek Hill. So if I'm Juju Smith-Schuster and I'm looking at that going, okay,
two of the
top 10 guys in targets per game are on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
I'm not going there.
I mean, this goes without saying, but there's no team in the league that has a higher target percentage, target share, dominated by two guys.
I mean, you're looking
at it works. They're
you're
not
looking
change
at
it.
Essentially 19 targets a game going to those guys.
Right.
Now, if you only throw the ball 30, 35 times,
The back gets eight of them.
Yeah.
Whoever's in there throughout the course of the game. It doesn't leave much.
Doesn't leave much on the table.
No.
Smith-Schuster was in the top 20. He averaged 8 targets per game last year.
Which is a pretty good number.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were him, I'd be very happy with that this year.
That's right there, right behind Amari Cooper.
Yeah,
who's the number one receiver for the Cowboys.
Pro Bowl type guys, right.
So that's what he's looking at there. I think the Steelers.
And think about if he was a Raven.
Right. Now it drops down to really 4 or 5.
Yeah, right. He might be their target leader.
I'd have to go way down the list here. In fact, I can do that to find Baltimore's.
And they still probably would have drafted Bateman.
Baltimore's target leader was Marquise Brown at 6.3.
Wow. Yeah. And maybe Juju could be at 6.3 with them. Maybe.
But if you're at 6.3, you catch 4 out of 6, you had a pretty good year, and you're catching
60
passes.
Right. It's not a great day at the end of it when it's all said and done.
No.
And you're blocking a lot.
Yeah. Running downfield to run back to them, run back to the huddle. That's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.